Blog Talk Radio.
What's your story? What do you believe? What are you willing for others to see? Are you hiding behind some false idea? The time has come to change your thinking and find your mission as you persevere and build a team where the cause is clear. Challenge yourself and
welcome to the What Is Success Show on Friday, February 24th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Central, 11 Mountain, and 10 a.m. Pacific Time. It's your host, V.S. Grenier, along with Marcia Casper-Cook, your other host. And as always, we have this as a discussion-based show. We talk about what's going on in the publishing industry, from books to marketing. You can always call with your questions at 714-242-5259. Again, that's 714-242-5259. Or you can post your questions in the chat room because that is open as well. Good morning, Marcia, or afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm looking at snow, but you're not. I'm looking at a lot
of snow. We have wind, no snow. It snowed last week, but that was about it.
Yeah, we have snow and wind, and but actually it's pretty good because it's like going to be 40, so I think it'll melt, which is a good thing.
Oh, that's good.
I know, yeah. All right, so there we are. What do you want to talk about? What's first?
Well, I know we were talking a little bit this week about just the kind of stuff that was going on with social media, so I know you wanted to kind of talk about how, you know, everybody's on the like me bandwagon. And not just like, you know, like me as a friend or like my pages on Facebook, but, you know, like my book page on Amazon and Goodreads and Twitter this and,
yeah, see, 'cause I think what's happened now is instead of, you know, not marketing, everybody's over-marketing. And I've talked to a lot of people, you know, and I don't ask them on the air because I don't want to do that to anybody, but most of them, they're not selling books. So I think the bottom line is, you know, you want to sell books and you want to get your ranking up. That's important, but there's a limit. And I think it's taking away from people's writing because they're so conscious now of, are they going to sell? Is Barnes & Noble going to want them? Are the bookstores going to want them? What can they do? And basically, a lot of these things don't work as well as they were working because we're all in a pool with hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah,
from the UK and everywhere, Canada, everywhere.
And I agree because, you know, the Internet definitely has made our world a smaller world than it used to be with how connected we are. And I'm not going to say social media doesn't work because, obviously, you know, I use that with the world.
No, it does work. It does
work because, you know, obviously we use it for the World of Ink tours. We Twitter, we post on Facebook, we do the LinkedIn, create the event pages. You know, obviously it's a blog tour. The problem is I think people sign up for too many social networks.
Yeah.
So they're spreading themselves too thin. And I've talked about this before in a blog. It comes up, and it's interesting because Writer's Digest just recently was mentioned this, and I don't remember which issue it was. I know it's not the one that's out right now, but it might have been the one before, the one right before that, where they're just kind of talking about how social media marketing, you have to, it's not that it's a bad thing, but it's causing writer's block, and I know Marcia.
Yeah, I said that before. I said it months ago, right?
I knew
it was because I myself, I get involved in it. It's not like you and I don't do this. I mean, so we're talking to people. We're not like lecturing because we're doing it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and we're constantly trying to figure out what works. And like we talked about this morning, the two of us, is that when you start one thing, 2 minutes later, something else comes up, and you know. And one of the problems is because of what Facebook did. I think we're all under the misconception that it's working right. It's not, because I, you know, I'll just say this on air. I called Bennett the other day, and I said, Bennett, you're not answering my, you know, you're not answering any of my, you know, the mail I'm sending you on Facebook. He goes, I never get them. So I email him now in his regular email address. So I think people don't understand. The fact is people aren't getting things, and we don't know who's not getting it.
I think that's part of it. I also think the thing is, too, is because, like you said, there's so many new things happening, you know, apps and, you know, mini websites and the interaction now between, like, with virtual books being interactive, you know, there's just so many different things you can do on the social platforms.
I know.
Which are amazing things. The problem is I don't think, and this goes right to the writer's block, everybody wants to jump on everything as soon as it comes out. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's just that you can't jump on every single bandwagon because there's only so many hours in the day and there's only so much of you. The other thing is if you're busy constantly worrying about, you know, where your like ranking is or your Google, you know, ranking is for book sales, which, by the way, just so anybody knows, if you haven't sold a book in 6 months and you sell one book, you're going to skyrocket in your Amazon rankings. It doesn't mean you just sold 50 books. It means a book sold and you went from, you know, 10,000 to 5,000 all of a sudden in whatever genre ranking you are. I mean, it can really, just one book sale can jump you like that. And so what's happening is we're not doing what we should be doing as writers, which is writing, or we're not doing good writing because we're so distracted.
Yeah.
That it's causing problems. And the thing that I always talk about social media is, you know, pick a couple. You know, I mean, obviously we know there's more than a handful of different social platforms out there.
Yeah.
And so my advice to people when they ask me is, you know, pick a few. You know, obviously you want to pick probably two of the top. So, you know, you're going to want to either be on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, or
yeah, those
Google.
Those three seem to be the most popular. And
yeah,
where
well,
everybody
and Google has a platform now, and they're changing their platform, you know, constantly because obviously they're maxed out in the type of platform they have, which is as a search optimization platform. So now they're getting more into the app kind of, you know, bringing everything together into one locale kind of, you know, is what they're kind of trying to do. So they're trying to streamline themselves more and keep themselves in the market. So my thing I always tell people is, you know, pick at least two of those four, you know, places, and I'd probably go with either Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn, as from those three choices first.
Yeah.
And then you want to look at, you know, some other platforms. Like there's like the Ning, which is N-I.
Yeah, I started
platform.
There, but I never see. This is the thing. Like I'm sure other people do the same thing. I sign up for things and then I don't do them. And then then I see it again, and I go, okay, I think I'll sign it up. So after I go through the whole thing, giving the password, doing everything, and then all of a sudden they go like, oh, you signed up already.
Yeah,
okay.
And well, that's what I'm saying, because there's more than a handful out there. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, you want to go at least with two of the big guys, and then you want to look at some of, like, the medium to smaller, you know, platforms out there. So I was saying, like, there's, like, the Ning sites out there, which is N-I-N-G, and there's, like, ones for self-publishing. There's ones called for book marketing, you know, authors, you know.
You and I
authors.
Get probably more than most. And, you know, it's really funny.
Oh, yeah.
You sent me something yesterday, and you go, I think you should look at this. And I go, okay, fine. And I look at it, and I went, like, I think I said that to you. So I said to you, you know, because I'm up very late at night, and I'm looking at all these things. I go, oh, this is good. I'll send it to Virginia. So I sent it to you. You sent it back to me. I'm going, like, what was this about? I forgot already. Because there's, like, 10 others. And, you know, and that's the thing. You know, when they don't say how much they are a lot, and that's not that bad because, you know, sometimes, you know, if I've offered something, you know, I won't say how much it is because you almost have to really talk to a person or either email them back. It's one size, like, does not fit all. So I think that that's kind of now when people don't see a price, they go, oh, I'm not going to call them. But that's really not true, though. But you don't want to be put in a position where you're just like the guy across the street. Everybody has different, you may have more books, you may have less, and a lot of times people now have 6-7 books. So it's different, and it might be good to connect them. So when you see something that doesn't have a price, that doesn't necessarily mean there's something wrong with them. It just means they want to talk over what you need.
Well, yeah, and obviously different experience levels, you know, like you're saying, you know, really makes a difference in price. I mean, you know, and that's kind of what I'm saying. You know, that's one thing you need to look. And I always tell people, start off with five. Always start off with at least five social networks. And then you can't just give them a month. And this is the key thing. A lot of new authors will say, well, I'll give it like, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. And if nothing pans out, then I move on. You know what? The biggest thing, and I teach this a lot, and when I actually go speak and do my, you know, how to sell yourself speaking workshop kind of conference that I do, and I've done it a few times for the Muse Online conference, which is a free conference in October. That's a virtual conference. I've taught it twice there as well. And the first thing I always tell people is there's a soft side of marketing. It's networking. And people, I know we all hear about networking, but I don't think anybody really gets how networking it works. The reason why it's called the softer side of marketing is because someone you meet today or some connection you make on a social site, so say you sign up for a social site and you've made 100 friends. You make the goal, okay, I'm going to have 100 friends in a month, but then you don't see
right.
any like book sales or any traffic to your site.
Right.
The thing you got to understand is out of those 100 people, you don't know if there's one or more people in that 100 group that you just met that in 5 years from now can reach back with their hand and say, hey, you're doing something now that relates to what I'm doing. Let's
yeah.
partner up. And next thing you know, you're off, you know, running instead of just walking.
Well,
I
see that a lot. I see because, you know, I've been doing, you know, I've been an agent for like 15 years at WGA, and I'm probably going to start taking clients on now. But it's interesting because people that I knew, and I remember every client I had, and the interesting part is they go into a service, and then they probably have paid someone, and they send it to Marcus Bryant, so which is also me. And so it's, you know, weird because then I see their name and I know they're still out there and nothing happened for them. But they, you know, they might have been thinking years ago that I wouldn't be around, let's just say. So now 15 years later, I am, and I have a show now. So, I mean, now I could have
yeah.
them on my show, you know. And that's what's interesting. You're right, because I never knew I was going to have a show. I never thought about this. There was no
right.
blog talk. And so people that have had really good books in the past, if they see me, they should email me directly. I'll have them on my show because I remember exactly who was good. Even though I had sometimes maybe about 50, 60 clients at a time, I knew them. All.
Right,
because
and I'm the same way.
I wanted to, right.
Yeah, and I'm the same way. You know, a name will come across, I'm like, I know that name. And,
right.
and I remember from, you know, Stories for Children magazine or, you know, maybe I worked with them at Halo Publishing or,
right.
you know, did a World of Ink tour with them, like back when I started, you know, 2 years ago, the tours. And so, you know, and that's exactly right. And that's what's so cool about social media. Social media takes that softer side of marketing and makes it, and I don't want to say instant because I don't want people to think, well, then what you just
yeah.
said, you know, I should give it more than 6 weeks. But it is a little bit more instant because it connects you with more people
yep.
faster. However, you have to give a social platform, I would say, at least a good 6 months to see if there's some type of return from your time being spent there.
Yep.
In 6 months,
yep.
if you feel like you're just posting stuff and no one's looking at you and you're looking at your website and you don't see any traffic coming to your website from that social platform after 6 months, I would probably say, okay, I need to find another one and move away from that one and then try another one. But, you know, I would give something at least 4 to 6 months. And that's the thing is a lot of people don't. They
yeah.
want instant
yeah.
gratification because we've gotten into this. And this is something I learned back when I was in marketing. Gosh, and this was like back in the early 90s when I was in college. So, and it's funny because we talked about it then and it was a trend we were starting to see. I remember talking about this in 93 in my international marketing class. And it was a trend we were just starting to see that is just overwhelmingly happening constantly now, which is everybody is so into, I want it here, I want it now, I want instant gratification, me,
yeah.
and
yeah.
the problem is not everything is like that. Some things have to take time to build momentum. I mean, I'm not going to say there aren't the people. Obviously, we know that there are authors out there. They do it once, it takes off, and it's just phenomenal. But it's
yeah,
because
right. But that's it's one in like a million. It doesn't happen to everybody. This is really very hard. You know, you just got to, you know, and you have to work it. Like it's taken I'll take myself for an example. You know, now when I come, because unfortunately the world we live in now, people like you meet them, and I've said this before. They go, okay, fine, I'll Google you. If you don't come up on Google, they go like, oh, my God, this person has no worth, which is ridiculous. But it is how it is. You know what I mean? It's one like, oh, they
right.
don't know anybody. But the thing is, if you get press releases, I mean, you offer them, I offer them, we're going to be offering a lot of services. And this is the same for script writing because I really think now that I, you know, as a script writer, I have 11 scripts. I'm optioned. I've, you know, and optioned even for money, which is a good thing. And
yeah.
I want to help people again with this. But I think, like, I was, you know, I have Mike in my office, and he's going to be doing a lot of different things, and he's an agent. He's on his own, but he's actually, you know, working with me. And we're coming up with some new things because, honestly, the old things need to be, we can't do the same things as we did 10 years ago.
No.
You know, you got to think out of the box a little, which is, you know, a good thing to do. And sometimes it works, and like you say, sometimes it doesn't work. And I think it's not a failure if it doesn't work. It's just, you're just trying something, you know, and I try a lot of different things, and so do you.
And here's the thing, especially when you're building your marketing platform, and I loved it because Johnny Tan hit it perfectly two
yeah.
weeks ago when he was on our show, and he said there's publicity and there's marketing. And marketing means
right.
you have a message. And there's something you're trying to get out there. Now, you know, my big thing, of course, is Stories for Children, and I want to bring whimsical fun, you know, because a lot of the children's magazines out there, I mean, I'm not going to say Highlights doesn't have some whimsy in it, because it does, but it's one of the few magazines, because most of them are either very focused on nonfiction-specific themes every month, or if they're story-driven, you know, again, there's some type of driving theme that they stick to, and it just fun stories are just fun. There's no real point to them, but just kids enjoy them because they're just fun. It's going
you have to go back. I think that's what happens a lot of times. You really have to think about it. Kids are kids. It doesn't matter. 10 years ago, 5 years ago, they still laugh at the same things. I mean, it's all new to them. It may not seem new to us. But it's not new to it, but it's new to them, you know.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, this isn't really fun. And then the kids are laughing because they really like it. You know, we're just, you know, we get jaded to all of these things. And certainly when we're in the business, you know. And I always say this. I think I was a better writer before I knew anything because honestly, you know, it's like I'm going, oh, will this sell? Will that? And I have to. And I'm doing this myself. I am just like everybody else. I have made not mistakes, but I have been marketing and marketing and marketing, and I'm up till 4 a.m. It's ridiculous, okay? I have to get into the real world and be up. I am up in the day, but I don't feel like doing anything because it takes me like an hour or two to be not tired because I'm up till 4. So I think, and I see a lot of people on there, too. I mean, they're doing the same things. You know, and so I think what we all probably need is a little sleep and to be thinking of more of a plan, and that's why you're going to be putting on your site some of my things, too, that we're doing. We're going to offer these things because I honestly cannot keep I really didn't want to do this, but I need to do this from my office, too, because I can't really believe how people are paying for things and it's not working out. And, you know, and it's a lot of money and they don't need it because it's not going to help them. So I think between you and I, we both have met a lot of people that offer good services.
Yeah,
we can help them.
Yeah, and there are good services, and that's the thing. I think people, you know, and I know you and I have talked about this, is, you know, with everything going on, and you're right, and we do get jaded, and we're so worried, like, it's which we've all heard, you know, just because, you know, you see a New York best-selling book come out, you know, like Twilight, you know, it's vampires and werewolves, and everybody gets on that bandwagon. The problem is it's been there, done that, and then we're, like, trying to market, like, well, I want, you know, and the thing is, the people who are successful, and this isn't just from what I've seen, because I had this conversation with some of my students last night when I was teaching over at Dixie College, is it doesn't matter if it's the publishing industry, if you're in the movie industry, if you're in the retail fashion industry, you know, computer industry, the reality is the people who are successful, the people that you see, like, overnight becomes success is because they're not worried about what everybody else is doing. I mean, they're aware.
Right.
I want to be clear about that. They're aware of what's going on in the market or genre or whatever that they're in. However, they're not worrying about that. What they're looking for is the holes. And they find those holes and they fill those needs. And that's where success comes. I mean, that's honestly where success comes from. And that's what I'm trying to say with social media. If we're so busy trying to build our platforms and market, We have now got tunnel vision, and we're not looking to see where can I fill the need. And that's how you have to look at marketing, which is different than publicity. Publicity is good because, yes, you have to build your name. Yes, you have to get, you know, your name out there.
Marketing is specific.
But when you market,
it's targeting.
You have to target it and know what need you're feeling. Filling.
Yeah. But, you know, you and I know this, and we keep telling everybody this. And the thing is, you know, and the part that I started 15 years ago to be Marcus Brian was to say to everybody, my goal has always been to keep people writing. And unfortunately, they stop. Some stay on. But there's always new things happening. And I wish, actually, some of the people that I had in the past, they were wonderful, but they gave up. And I think that if you're not ranked high on Amazon, don't give up because it doesn't mean that much. Because basically, it's not that these people say, I really think that I've asked a lot of authors, and you know, I really have. I don't ask them on the air, but I do ask them all the time questions, you know, and that's where we get the answers. You and I both talk to a lot of people, but we don't, when people are on our shows, we don't ask them embarrassing. I would never ask them anything embarrassing because that's what they know. Either of us never do that, okay? Because with us, we don't have questions that are like, you know, did you do this? Did you, you know, they kind of talk about what they want to. And we, but we hear it privately. And that's why when we talk about this, this is it's a very serious problem out there of people thinking that the guy over on the other, he's really selling books, and he's really not selling books. So don't give up because you think you're not selling a lot of books.
Well, and here's the thing, too. What you think is a lot of books is different from someone else. I have friends that when they sell 10 books in a month, they're like, I sold a lot of books.
Yeah.
Just because they went 3 months without selling a book, so they're excited they sold 10 books. You know, and then I have other friends, that do sell a lot of books, that do sell 400, 500 books a month, and it's like, you know, can you rub off on me? The thing is I have to remember what works for them may not necessarily work for me. We may both be children's authors. We may both be trying to promote a picture book, but their picture book message and who their target is, even though it's a picture book, is different because, yes, there's the big picture book genre market, but then you have to look specifically at the book and who it would pinpoint. If theirs is about dump trucks, and mine, of course, is about, you know, my character babysitting, you know, Sugar Paw and him hating babysitters, I'm obviously not going to be going after the kids who like trucks and go to and have parents like monster truck rallies. Because
or maybe
book
maybe you should say like
some of that.
What, maybe you know what we do and we do this the both of us do this and you know and we don't have Bennett here to tell us, you know what? I'll just start first. We have to say we don't ever tell people who we are, so they don't know who we are. Maybe okay. I am Marcia Cook and I am CEO of Michigan Avenue Media Inc. And that is, for marketing, PR, you know, and my own books are there, and I'm trying to, you know, help people in a lot of different ways. Then I'm Marcus Bryan, and that is an agency that is for screenplays, and we're, once again, beginning to, I'm going to go into that more than I have done in the past, because I really think we need to have some good scripts out there, and it's a good time after the awards on Sunday, because then we're going to see that the smaller films, those are usually the ones that end up winning. So, all right, and then I'm also an author, and I do have 11 screenplays, and I do children. I did a nonfiction book, Sail a More Than Survivor, and what I'm doing with Sail a Book now is I am redeveloping it, and it really, I think I made, not a mistake, but I think it needs to be in the young adult market, because that is who Sail a goes to speak at the Holocaust Museums, and that is the audience that they're geared, and that her book is told from a 10-year-old, so I am now switching everything, and I'll probably change the name and everything because it does belong in the young adult market. So, all right, go ahead, say what you do. So you always forget that. I know. I'm thinking. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm Virginia S. Grenier. I write under V.S. Grenier, so that's what most people know me in the market as. But it does come up sometimes under my full name, Virginia S. Grenier. So that's the two names that are out there in the industry for me. My background is marketing. I'm actually a marketing major, so that's why I know a lot about basically people's buying habits and stuff, because I focused highly into that when I was in the retail world as a buyer. I am the owner and founder of Stories for Children Publishing, which is an LLC, which it has the subdivisions of Stories for Children Magazine, SSC Newsletter for Writers, and then, of course, the World of Ink Network, but this is only part of the network, which I've partnered with Marcia on. It's also the World of Ink Tours, which is its own separate thing. I have my own personal book out, which is Babysitting Sugar Paw. It's a picture book for children ages 3 to 8. It's just a fun adventure babysitting story about friendship, honesty, and, of course, helping kids deal with the fact of being left with a caregiver for the first time. And then I also have, a lot of articles on writing tips and marketing kind of information.
You have a lot of that on your website. You do. I do.
And a lot of it, you know, has been from guest blogging, but I do have a lot that are actually in different writing magazines. I've been on Kids Writer. I can't think of them all because I've done so many of them.
Yeah, exactly. Websites, you have a lot of different, you know.
I do.
You don't have a website. Right. You offer a lot of different information.
I have a website. I have quite a few websites.
I meant you just don't have a website that you just have just the one thing. You have a lot of tips on there. You have a lot of things on them. Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of my articles I've written about writing, they've been in a lot of different, you know, writer-type publications. I haven't had one in Writer's Digest, but I've been in, like, a lot of children's writer-type publications and newsletters outside of my own. And then I'm also in a couple of anthologies or compilations as well. Like we have the Best of Stories for Children magazine, where I have some of my articles, short stories, and activities in for kids. And then I'm also in ones for writers where it's, you know, someone really liked something that I talked about and asked me to write an article on it and included it, which is, you know, for writers and tips and stuff. And so I've been published a lot, and I've won in 2007, 2008, and 2009. For those who care, I've been in the top 10 ranking as one of the editors and predator and editors. I know some people don't like them, and a lot of people do, so it tells you a little bit about me. Plus, I've won for my writing also with predator and editors, and I won a Silver Quill Award here in Utah for my picture book. So I am from the editing and writer side, I have won awards, so it's not like I'm just some smoking
right, you know, right, you know, and like, you know,
published or...
I'm not big on entry contests and things, but, you know, two of my scripts did win awards because Craig Clyde, who rewrote some of my scripts, he signed them up. I'm not, but I think that awards, you know, if you can get awards, it's really, really good, because I had Carlene Bradford on Tuesday night, and she's from Canada. She's got, oh, my God. She's got so many awards, and she's, you know, it seems to be in the Canadian market, because I've asked them all, you know, that we've had, and with Simon Rose, she knew Simon Rose, and, you know, he was doing shows with us, and they have what, a lot of stamina as far as, and they say what they think, you know, they don't do a lot of free events. I asked Simon, and I asked Carlene, they say to people, this is how I earn a living. And I need to be paid. And I think one of the problems is that it's become where people think they can get everything for free, because people are offering things for free. But on the online, if you, they're not really working for free, because their ad, something is, they're getting paid. They're not working for free. You know,
I think
that's what's happening, is that everybody thinks that everybody should do everything free, but this is what we do.
Yeah, it's our living,
you know,
it's our livelihood.
Right. But in Canada, they go, like, you're going to pay me if I'm going to go to... Like, I went to a school, and we were talking about that on the show, about should we be in bookstores, and Carlene, who has had so many successes in so many ways, she said, yes, she goes to Barnes & Noble, and sometimes people, like, talk to her, and then they go, could you tell me where the bathroom is? I mean, they're not paying attention who people are anymore, because they're so used to being in a bookstore, and they're not caring, which is not that's really not great. And I mentioned the fact that I was at a school opening fair, and they were having all the parents there, so they put me in the library, and then nobody was there, and the librarian happened to not be there. So they thought I was the librarian instead of selling books. So I think that I myself have learned the fact that I have to put more value on when I go out, and I have to ask more questions, not, oh, great, I'll be there. I have to say, like, what am I going to be doing? Where are you going to, you know, where am I going to be? Because if I would have been in another spot, I would have sold a lot of books. But I left, and I just left. I told them, I said, look, I've been here before. I said, and you put me in the wrong place. I said, if you want me to come, I'll be happy to come and talk to the kids and, you know, give them whatever, you know, speak with them and help them. I said, but I'm not going to do this again. So I left in 1 hour. And I was so glad that I did.
I love what you just said, too, because you're right. And this is one thing, when we're out there building our social platforms, which is our, you know, our writing platforms, our publishing platforms, the thing that we need to do is we need to not undervalue ourselves. And I love that you said that, Marcia, because it's so true. Yes, it's fine to do giveaways. Yes, it's fine to say, you know, if you follow my tour, you'll get like a – because Margaret – I think it's Fink. I have to remember off the top of my head. So, if Margaret, if you're listening, I got your last name wrong. I'm really sorry. But when she did a World of Ink tour with us, she's from Australia. And she lives here in the U.S. now. So she decided to write, taking a few of her characters from some of her books that she was touring with us during the World of Ink tour, and put them in a little mini kind of time-traveling adventure story. And it was a free little PDF story that she would send to those who would leave comments on the different blog stops.
Well, that's
cute.
That's
fine. That let people sample her writing, and it created interest. But she didn't say, I'm going to give you all my books for free, or sell them to you for 99 cents. And then hope that when I take them back off the promo,
well, it's kind of like a mess now. There's such a mixed message, and you know, I did it myself.
It does.
With World Castle, we're doing it, and my ranking went up. It doesn't stay up, but it does go up. And I think that I'm not sure how this will be. This remains to be seen, but it seems to be doing well for a lot of people, and it may work, the Kindle and the Prime and all the new things. But, you know, it may, you know, we're going to hope, because, you know, I think that there's been a lot of issues with the bigger companies, and we're all writers and we're involved with this. So it all remains to be seen of what will happen with everybody, because there's so many new things and so many arguments in the business going on, you know, with the large corporations.
I think it's totally fine, and this is totally me talking from my marketing retail buyer background, because, you know, I dealt a lot, obviously, with sales and markdowns and promos, and, I mean, that's, you know, everybody knows, I mean,
right.
Black Friday shows up, or, you know, it's Columbus Day weekend. I mean, I know this part of the industry. Like, it's okay to offer something for free to create interest. It's even okay when you debut something to say for this week only, blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. The
yeah.
problem is... People see they get a bunch of traffic from it, bunch of sales, even though it's not as much money as they would have made. Well, actually, I shouldn't say it, because I always tell people you want quantity versus, you know, having high prices. I think, you know, being reasonable with your prices, if you sell something for a dollar, chances you'll get a million, you'll make $1 million because 1 million people buy it, versus if you sell it for $25 and only, you know, 5 people buy it. You got to kind of think about that, too, when you're pricing stuff and doing stuff. But in the same light, you don't want to get hooked up on, well, I did really good when I sold it for 99 cents, so maybe I should just keep it at 99 cents. Well, now you're starting to undervalue yourself, because people are thinking, well, now they're discounting it and keeping it discounted, so they must not believe in what they did. So it's a very fine line, and it really is. It's the same thing with social media. You know, when you go talk to somebody...
I think that's true, because, you know, Sala was... That's a self-published book, but you know what? Robin from Fidelity Publishing, I said to her, should I put it, you know, should I knock the price? She goes, why? They're buying it. You know, she said, the e-books are selling really good. She says, why are you going to give it for free? I said, I don't know. I thought maybe, you know, more people would come in and whatever. And she says, are you kidding? She goes, they're buying it for full, you know, whatever it is. She says, they like it. Just leave it alone. You know,
that's
and
right.
really,
and
that's right. And you know what?
That's
Sarah
very
is
true.
The only book I don't have. I very seldom really, you know, promote that one as much, and I don't even have a trailer for that one. It's what people want. It's a nonfiction. But, you know, and I've tried other things like...
And it's doing well. And look, Marcia, you're barely doing anything, and it's doing fine.
I know that.
And that's the thing. The second you... And I swear, I saw this all the time as a buyer, okay? And I think that's what makes me kind of uniquely different in this industry, because...
Well, I know that, too, because I have my electronic business. We
right, right. Yeah,
I know
you're
going
to company.
Right,
but,
exactly. This is
but a lot of authors haven't come from where they've actually dealt with this kind of stuff.
Right, right.
And I'm not knocking authors. I mean, you know, a lot of them are usually former teachers.
There's so many
or,
things to learn. Nobody can learn.
Yeah, there
it,
is. There's a lot
to learn.
But that's the thing. When I was a buyer, at MF, I was selling shoes, belts, clothing, accessories for the home, you know, books, whatever.
It is actually about multiple. Remember how they used to say multiples?
I've sold every product known to man except for cars and electronics, okay?
Right. Well,
As a buyer, I've bought nothing. But we never touched our top 10 selling items. We never discounted them.
Yeah,
we never did promos on them. We hardly even marketed them, because they just did well on their own. And the second we messed with, and I've watched this,
I know,
it's doing so well, I need to, like, add more colors. You know, talking about like a dress or something, or I need to change this, or, well, everybody likes this one candle, so I'm going to add more fragrance, whatever it is. The second they started messing with the product, it started to not sell.
I know. See, that's the thing. You know, they say, like, it's not broke, if it's not broke, don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't fix it. You know, don't change
you know,
it. And, you know,
the flip side is, something isn't selling well, it's fine to try and tweak it and find a different way to maybe help it sell better. But if you keep spinning your wheels and it's not working, stop. Because either it's not the right time for
it,
or
it just might be timing. You know, and it's one thing, you know, when you, I was going to talk a little about scripts. You know, when you go and market a script, you need a log line, which is like a one sentence or two, because that's what the production companies want, you know.
Right.
And I used to, or when I put it out, when I used to call the production companies, what we would find out, if nobody wanted that story, with that log line. We had them change the log line because the people weren't getting the message. It was a good script. They just weren't reading it because it wasn't getting to the. Sometimes maybe, you know, in the, you know, when you write a promo on it, it may not strike the right audience, so maybe you have to redo it. That's why you have to be cautious and you have to watch what you do, and you also have to change things. You can't leave the same thing all. If sometimes your book isn't selling, maybe you should change your synopsis because maybe they don't get what you're trying to say. And, you know,
or the marketing material.
Absolutely.
You
may
have
to change.
And I ran this with Babysitting Sugarpaw. When I first met Babysitting Sugarpaw, you know, I thought I had it great. Well, one, my catchphrase I had wasn't, it was okay, but it wasn't as good as it could have been. And I learned that, of course, the following year. I changed it, made it a little bit more, you know, sharper and where it was more attention-grabbing. And then the other thing I realized is because my book was about babysitting, I thought, you know, I'm going to go after, like, you know, nannies and nanny sites and, you know, and I realized that was actually the wrong place for me. Even though it's about babysitting, they didn't care, which was weird. You think they would because they're baby, you know.
I just think, you know, I think
that was
one thing doesn't work, another one might.
It,
you know, I mean, you and I do try a lot of things, and I certainly do. I mean, I am always saying if you've got something, you know, that you want me to try, I'll try it for you, you know, and that is really a way, you know, and I tried something, and actually, I have a screenplay out there, it's called It's Never Too Late, and I put it in a book form, and I still think it should be, it's a good idea, I just don't know if people are going to want to do it, but I think that what they do is they take the PDF of their script, and they put it out, and they put a nice cover on it, and I think this should be circulating because someone out there might say, oh, you know, this is really a good, you know, script. Let's do it as a movie. I think certain things must change because it is absolutely a changing time, and I don't think you can stay with the same marketing tools that you used it 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Books are completely different now. Scripts, movies, you can sometimes get to actors that you never did before. You can get to people. You see with Twitter, there's some people that you have never, ever would have met or ever even had on your show, or you know, we never would have had a show, let's just say. I never would have met some of these people. So the opening, the world is opening for everybody. And don't think that just because one thing didn't work, but there are a lot of, like, movie stars. They're out there looking for scripts, too. I mean, even though they have agents, as you see, there's maybe 25, 30 stars, and you'll see it on the Academy Awards, the same ones over and over again. And you know how many stars there are out there? I mean, there's, like, the same as writers.
Yeah,
actors,
so many. Millions.
Actors, they're everywhere. So I think that...
And I love that we were talking about scripts because you're right. For example, and I actually talked about this last night in my class because we were talking about character development. I told everybody, if you haven't seen it yet, go see the artist because it'll really open up.
Did you see it?
It'll open. Well, and the reason why I suggest this is because, you know, as writers, it doesn't matter if you're a script writer, a novel writer, short story writer, even if you write nonfiction, the artist is amazing because you have these actors that have done – you know, as they call is what they used
did
to call
it. Did you see? I didn't know you saw it. It was absolutely.
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it. But
even my husband, I didn't think my husband was going to like. He loved
what I love. But what I love about that movie for those of us on this side of the industry is it helps open up our awareness that we need to be more aware of body language and everything that's going on around us because it's a silent movie. And the actors who did it had never been in silent movies. They had to learn.
Great, though.
They had to learn that old art of really showing body language. I mean, yes, we use body language, but such a subconscious thing for us now in communication.
Well, sure, because when you write a script, so that's the thing. They don't want so much description. So the actor, I feel the director. See, I like it when my opinion is directors, actors, producers, writers, if we all worked together, we'd have really good films. But in this film particularly, I always felt that way. And in this film, I sat there for a few minutes at first, and I went like, oh, I don't know. I'm truly a dialogue writer. I love dialogue, and this is what I do. And I'm thinking, am I going to like this movie? I don't know. I think I might leave. And I'm thinking like, oh, no, I won't leave. You know, so then I stayed. It was unbelievably good, and it had so few words, but it's about the acting, and it's about the directing. There's so much more, and the music. It was. And my husband, I was so shocked. He was telling someone the other day, he goes, oh, I love this. I'm thinking like, oh, my God. I never thought he was going to like it.
I love about the movie, and this is how you know things are changing, it's an A-list of actors. Even in the sub- tiny little roles, like the chauffeur in the movie, he's an A-list actor playing a chauffeur.
Yeah,
and that
right,
really
exactly.
speaks, it really speaks to this in the industry to say, if it's really good, nobody cares where they're at as long
right.
as they're a part of it. And that's
what's happening,
about.
On, that's
right.
what's happening on Showtime. Showtime and HBO, they're having all these series and these great,
yeah.
Dustin Hoffman, all these great actors. They're
yeah.
coming out and they're doing things, and this is unbelievably a changing market that's great.
It is. It
oh,
is. Now, really quickly, Marcia, on the artists, because you're talking about, you know, you never knew who's going to see it, and you're talking about, you know, there's a lot of independent stuff happening as well. I want to say this isn't with a big production company, right? It's with a smaller kind of independent
well, yeah.
group, isn't
well,
it?
Yeah, but that's right. It doesn't matter, though, because the indie...
No, it's...
But actually...
I hope it wins.
You know, I think it's going to win, and I think my opinion is don't think about small or large companies when you're certainly doing a movie, because you'll see what's going to happen at the Oscars. It always turns out so much different than people think
yeah.
it is. It's not
yeah.
just the box office; it's word of mouth. It's now
is.
Artist is a movie. This will go on forever. They had the dog on TV. And they had it on Channel 7, and it was so cute. I mean, the dog is adorable. And, I mean,
yes,
it's like
yes.
this is actually a really big change for the movies. And I think that even if it doesn't win, it was a fabulous movie, and it's a new age.
Yeah.
And they're showing, you know, it's like unbelievable that this ever got this far. And the reason it did is because it's a good movie, and that's the thing. People tell
well,
other people.
Yeah. And for those who haven't seen or don't know, we're talking about the artist. For those of us in the industry, the title, The Artist, is exactly that. It's about
yeah.
adapting
art.
To change
yes.
in the industry and how creativity and innovation changes things and adapting to it, accepting it, growing with it, finding how you can still fit within what the changes is
yeah.
what the movie's about. You know, obviously this one's with an actor and him adapting from silent movies to talking movies, but the point is we're seeing this happening now, and I think that's why so many people, and I know that's why it's nominated for Best Picture, is because I think a lot of the people, and you'll probably agree with me, Marcia, that are script writers, actors, and stuff, they could relate because we're seeing this now in our own time that we're being faced with these changes.
I mean, you know, the Weinstein Company, that's, you know, they're the ones that produce, you know, but let me tell you something. They are
mm-hmm.
they are unbelievably great out there because they have brought so many good movies. And the Weinstein Company has brought, and they've taken chances, and this was a huge chance, okay?
Yes.
And this is a fabulous. So I think there are always going to be people like them that are out there that are giving people a chance. So don't give up on anything because you don't really know what's going to work, you know? And
yeah.
Nobody would have thought this could have worked, and it's wonderful. And so I think that this is like a lesson of anything you're writing. You know, you don't really know if you're going to have an audience. So don't give up and don't say, oh, okay, this one's got all this, so I'm going to write like this one. I mean, we all do these things. We all want to be successful, but, you know, which is the name of the show, is what is success? It's a lot of different things, you know. So I think that when you think of things, I think that maybe, you know, what we're trying to relay to people and, you know, is that we can help you just by even conversation because, like, I know that there's not one show that I've done that I've not learned something. And I'm sure you have the same. I listen to your shows,
yes,
you know, when you
yeah.
have them, and I'm thinking, like, you know, this is something new. You know, it's something different because we all think differently. So I think with people,
right.
not only our shows, but Blog Talk really has a lot of different people out there, and I've met unbelievable people. So have you, you know. And
yes.
the thing is, if people keep their minds open and listen to a lot of these shows, and that's why you and I are trying to do certain things, and I'm trying all different categories now because I think that people want to know different things. Because, you know, if you are a screenwriter, and we're going to try to do with Marcus Brian a lot of books to movies. You know, I feel this. It should be a bigger type of, you know, I think the production companies need to see some of these books that are really, really good, and then they'll write their own script because a lot of them don't like the scripts that they're getting. So this way they'll hire their own writer to do a script and they'll have a good story. And there's so,
yeah.
you know, there's a lot of, you know, and there's so much going on. So I think that this is what we do here. And so I think if people have ideas, they should let us know, you know, and we can talk about them, you know. And I
yeah,
think you're going to have on your site.
A different viewpoint because, you know, just because I think one way doesn't mean I know it's not the right way. My husband probably laughs and say, yes, she does. She always thinks her opinion is the right opinion in the house. But That's because I'm the woman of the house. But, no, in reality, I know I'm not the only one. I mean, there's more than one way, as they say, to skin a cat. And, yes, I'm a cat lover, so I'm not trying
to
eat the cats. But,
right.
But it's,
right.
it's such a true saying. I mean, as cliche as that sounds, there really is more than one way to skin a cat. And that's the thing that, you know, that this show's, you know, is supposed to bring to people is, you know, here's some things that we're thinking about, you know, and we're constantly thinking about it. It doesn't matter, you know, if
like my husband, he's always laughing because I can, you know, I will change my opinion in a conversation sometimes. I'll go, oh, yeah, you know, you might be right. I mean, it's like you have to follow me fast. And anybody that comes in my office to work with me, they know that I've got 20 thoughts at one time. You know, I've been doing this a long time. I am passionate about this. And that's the one thing. If you don't have a passion for this, then you really shouldn't be in this because this, you need to have passion in this. You need to feel something. When you're done, you have to, you know, it's really hard to write a story, even to finish it, no matter what it is. And no matter what anybody thinks, even if somebody says they don't like it, it's hard to finish. You know, there's a lot of people that say, oh, I can write a book, and they never do. So when you write a book and you finally do it, and you have somebody come up to you and you go, you know, I really liked your book, that's fabulous. That's where it is. Or if somebody reads your script and they go, oh, this is a good read. So you at least know that it's, you know, people are out there. But it doesn't mean that you're going to sell it, but at least you're on the right track. And eventually, if you keep doing it, I honestly believe it can happen. I know my friends that are not in this business think I'm crazy sometimes, but I have done things that I have never thought I was going to do, ever. And I'm sure you do, too.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, and I always tell people, you know, when they start getting discouraged, you know, it's like, the different, you know, things that you always hear people say, you know, like, oh, you know, the Empire State Building wasn't built overnight, you know, the Mona Lisa wasn't painted overnight, you know. And you think about it, but you start thinking about the greats, and when you're kind of talking about, you know, you have to be up for the long haul, you can't just give up and run away, and it might not happen right away. Think about all the classical literature, and, you know, I'm talking Dickens, Mark Twain, you know, classics, okay, William Shakespeare. If you think about these guys, a lot of them had a lot of rejection.
Yeah.
I mean, we read about it all the time. And it took them a long time for their steam engines to take off and for them to even be considered the great artists of art, you know, of those periods and classics to us now. You know, I love Dr. Seuss. I mean, people thought he was a complete quack when he first started writing his book. They laughed at him and said, no one's going to buy this.
Yeah,
we celebrate his birthday every year now in the school.
Yeah,
that's the thing. I mean, just because you're not seeing your success now, I mean, you don't know. It might happen when you're, you know, 20 years from now. Maybe you're lucky it don't happen overnight. But, you know, if you think about it, a lot of overnight sensations, and I just know.
They're not, right.
Well, example, J.K. Rowling, Harry Potter, right?
Yeah.
It was an overnight sensation. It was over in Europe. It picked up a little bit faster, but it was about book three, book four, because of all the controversy around the use of Wicked and, oh, my gosh, we're teaching our kids black magic, started up that a lot of the hype started with the Harry Potter series. And then, of course, she became an overnight success. You know, movies, now we have a theme park out in Orlando Universal Studios and blah, blah, blah. But no one has seen anything from her since book seven and the series finished, right?
Yeah.
She just popped up on the radar, and she's not even doing children's work. She's writing it. Which supposedly the contract's been signed. I've only seen some snippets on it.
She's got an audience. It's for adults, not even sticking in children. Yeah.
So, you know.
Who knows? Yeah, I mean, you could have started. You never know what people start out with, you know, whatever they're doing. You know,
what I wanted to say was a lot of people thought that once Harry Potter was done, that she was done. And she may be. I mean, everybody may hate this new adult series that she's working on, that she's just recently signed a contract for. You know, who knows, maybe we'll love it. But that's the point. I mean, she could have and could still possibly be a one-hit wonder. And, I mean,
I doubt it. I really do doubt it. Because she's, I mean, her books are, you know, done
well.
Yeah,
they are.
And, you know,
But
and
a lot of people,
you know,
I
have a feeling that it's going to be fine for her.
I think so, too. But I'm just saying, a lot of people thought that when she was on Harry Potter, like, how can she even top this?
Yeah.
You know, and you can't worry
that's hard. That would be hard to do with adults, though.
It
because,
is. But my point
is
you can't worry about those things. And
nobody knows. How would you ever think that 12- and 13-year-old boys would sit and be perfectly quiet watching a movie for, like, 2.5 hours and not say a word? You know what I mean? So and she's got kids reading, and this is a wonderful thing, you know.
It is a wonderful
thing,
but she didn't know that was going to happen. And I'm
no.
sure when it happened, I'm sure she worried that this could be, I mean, think about it. I mean,
oh,
Tolkien,
I'm sure she did. Oh, I'm sure, right. I'm sure she still, because everybody, no matter
yeah.
how successful they are, they still worry about their next project.
Well, and that's my point. Like Tolkien, he wrote Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty much it for him. That's all he's known for. I mean, I know he's done some smaller stuff before he passed away, but that's what he's known for. You
well,
know,
Gone
and
with
it's
the Wind.
Like,
Gone with the, what about Gone with the Wind?
Did he write Gone
that's
with
it.
The Wind, Tolkien? Oh, I didn't know
no,
that.
Gone with the Wind is one.
Oh, Gone with the Wind. Oh, okay.
I think she did.
Yeah, Gone with the Wind. Yeah, the
yeah.
writer of Gone with
I mean,
the
it's
right.
going
that's...
on and on and on and on forever, and nobody ever
yeah.
knows which, and Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz. You're right. Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
you
just
and there's,
you never
and there's
know.
Other stuff that have been done by them, but most people only know them for that one
right.
work. So, you know, yeah, it's great to have the overnight fame, but the same like you sit there and think, do you want it to get, you know, I'm not trying to say that J.K. Rowling's new series is going to get shadowed by Harry Potter, but I can guarantee you the people who are going to be reading it, because it was an overnight, you know, kind of hype, you know, sensational kind of thing, it's going to be really hard to not read the next series, even though it's for adults, and sit there and try and compare it to some degree. You know, just
well,
the style,
also, though,
the voice, everything.
You know, but a lot of the, when she came out with her book, a lot of these, you know, kids have grown up, so then she's got
yeah.
her markets. I mean, she's,
but,
you know,
but,
listen,
but that's
it's
what I'm
Mark,
saying.
You know, she's a good writer,
what I'm
so,
saying,
you know.
Well, I'm saying sometimes when you're an overnight sensation, people
yeah.
compare that overnight success to everything you do after that.
Right, yeah.
That's what I'm
yeah.
saying. So sometimes
yeah, right,
it's not
right.
it's not good to be an overnight.
It is hard to stay on the top, but I have a pretty good feeling that she'll be there.
Oh, I think so. But I'm just,
yeah.
I'm just
right,
you know,
I know, you're right.
My
you don't know. And so, right,
it,
people
sometimes
just have to keep going, though.
Yeah, that's why you got to keep going, and that's why sometimes being the tortoise in the race is okay, because he won.
Yeah, exactly.
Eventually. Right.
You know, the other thing is I wanted to talk about, okay, the Books for Children's Hospital. They can
yes.
go to on Facebook, Books for Children's Hospital. We are, you know, Willow Cross has started with the Arkansas Children's Hospital, and what people are doing is sending books directly to them, not to us. You know, nothing, anything like that. It goes on Books for Children's Hospital. It's a Facebook page, and the addresses are there, and Willow Cross started it. We're trying to get other hospitals involved also, and I think that, it, you know, because when kids are in the hospital, nobody realizes that, you know, and all the young adults, speaking of the young adults, right, and the young adults' books, those are going on electronically, and Arkansas has started a program where they have bought iPads, and the kids that are now ill in the hospital, they have books to read, so they're, you know, not just sitting there doing nothing all day, because sometimes they're in for weeks and weeks. So that's a good thing. And there's other causes, you know, and things like that. So I think if people get involved in some of these, I think sometimes it takes a way of thinking about yourself. And, you know, I like to donate things because I feel like, you know, this it makes me feel good, you know, and I know if somebody's benefiting from it. So I think that that's a good way to start, you know, with not having writer's block, but actually do something for somebody good, you know, something good for somebody that helps you. You know, you
yes,
feel good about yourself and you can write.
And speaking about donating, the thing that bites you in the butt, now not always because I know celebs do stuff and everybody's like, oh, and so, but you think about it, there's celebrities have a lot of charities that they're involved in,
yeah.
and we don't know all of them. And I'm bringing
right.
this up because when you do something like this, as great as you can use this as a marketing op to gain exposure, the best exposure you're going to get is by doing it, not caring about if anything comes back your way for doing it, because
right.
if you're humble about it, more word of mouth is going to get spread about you
yes.
than
well,
if you
I think,
try
yeah,
and create
I,
it.
It could happen that way. It could happen that way. But sometimes, you know, when yeah. you do something good, you know, then your mind is in a better place, and then you can end up writing because you actually feel good. You know, when you're,
that's
you,
right.
you don't feel good
yeah.
about yourself sometimes, it doesn't, you know, you don't actually want to write. You just don't want to do anything. So, you know,
yeah.
sometimes getting involved in some of the things, and there are a ton of charities on Facebook, you know, once you check them out and see that they're fine, that's a way of also, you know, feeling good and do, and actually feeling that there's somebody going to read your books and are going to enjoy it. You might not make money from it, but you know that they're going to be happy reading it. So I think that, that helps, too, get rid of writer's block because it makes you feel good. So I think that
no,
some
I,
of those
and
things
I agree,
are good.
And I agree, and that's what I was saying, you know, so don't
right.
don't hype it up because then it takes away from
right.
sorry,
right.
it takes away from that. So, you know, these are things you should do because you truly believe in them, not because you're hoping to get the pat on the back.
Yeah, I think, right.
For the
right.
wrong reasons. People will know you're doing it for the wrong reasons, and it sends a bad
yeah.
message. So
I think right. There's a lot of things to
good.
Do out there. And listen, we know it's hard. I mean, we face the same things as everybody else does. You know,
yes.
I mean, that's just, do you have a show Monday?
No, I don't have a show Monday, but this past Wednesday, the 22nd, we were supposed to have the Family Matters show. There was a technical issue, so we have rescheduled it for February 29th. I'm going to actually be getting it up on our site
later. Wait, but
later,
you know what,
date.
Though? You know what? I have a show February 29th.
Oh, do you?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll be moving it to a different day. I haven't looked yet.
Right,
okay,
right,
so
right. Yeah, you got to look.
Anyway,
yeah,
but we're rescheduling the show.
I have a special horror show because, remember, I had to cancel
I had jury duty. Yeah, I thought you did. Yeah, okay. So anyways, we will be rescheduling the stories for Stories Show. We'll be rescheduling Family Matters show sometime next week. Maybe we'll put it on Monday's slot instead. I'll have to email the team. We're still trying to make sure.
You know, the sixth, I have to cancel a show. There's a Holocaust dinner, so I have a show on the sixth that I've canceled. So I'll take it off. That's
okay.
On a Tuesday. Maybe you can have that.
Yeah.
You know,
we'll be redoing that show, but it'll be next week sometimes when we'll do the Family Matters, and then the next Stories for Children show is actually on March 5th. Is when I have that, and the authors I have are actually, I was contacted by author friends of mine, so this isn't even going to be part of the World of Ink tour, because I'm actually taking March off from doing the blog tours. This is just going to be fun, just kind of having them on, just so the show continues, but it's not tour related, so they'll have to come tune in to the Stories for Children shows in March, because it's just going to be us children's authors just kind of chit-chatting about the industry.
Oh, that's a good thing. That's a good thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, and I have a show, let's see, I have a show Tuesday, February, the 28th. I'm so happy this month is going to be over. It's going to be March. I love it. Okay, and we're going to have Bethany Cross is on, Michelle Prince, Wendy Smith, and Molly Flegel, and they are romance writers, and as you know, I love that. It's going to be a fun show because we always have fun. They have great things coming up, and they're enjoying writing, and they're all going to be on Tuesday night, and we're going to have a really fun time. Yeah, so, yeah, it's good. I have a lot of other things, and so do you, planned, you know, for this month. We have a lot going on,
yeah,
and we'll continue to do new things because, you know, you and I like to give new things out there because, you know, and
yes.
We'll be offering services for scripts. I actually have people in my office, and Virginia will be probably putting them on some of the sites. We're going to be doing, you know, for screenplay formatting and revision, you know, there are people that will help now with that, you know, and
yes.
People tell
well,
people
and
they
you,
don't need to have it
well,
right,
and
but
you
they
and
do
I
need
are,
to have it.
And you and I are going to also be offering, you know, coaching to writers and
yes.
And script, you know, writers of any genre, and I can't do illustrations, but I can at least refer them to.
No, I can't. No, I don't edit. And
for
I definitely
those people, I do have referral
you
on
edit,
that. And
you
that.
Edit, right? You edit. I don't.
Yeah. So.
And the 29th, I do have a horror show that's going to be. I mean, it's really going to be a very interesting show. We have a lot of good guests on that, and I'm doing it with Elizabeth Black. And it's going to be great. Yeah, we're having somebody from Germany, and it's going to be very interesting. A lot of different, you know, because horror and dark, there's a lot of dark fiction now. So, and she's been doing this for a long time, and she's very successful. So we are having that show on the 29th, right? That's like, you know, you probably didn't know because I don't usually do a show on Wednesday.
Yeah. But no, I remember you had to move it around.
Right.
I think we have somebody who has a question for us.
Oh,
Marcia.
Okay,
we'll
good.
Bring them
okay.
in really quickly before we wrap up our show.
Okay.
Caller 8212, did you have a question for us? Hello?
What I do want to, you know, discuss is that I'm a closet brony. I'm not joking. I know people are like, what? Are you kidding me? No, I'm not joking. This is for real. I think Fluttershy is cute. I love Pinkie Pie. I'm bronified. and that's about it.
Oh, that must be our friend.
I think that
must be our friend.
An interesting friend from
yeah, I think we have one friend that comes on every show. We're doing.
Yes.
So,
like,
you know, we are open for discussion, but we couldn't even hear what he said, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
We don't know what he said. And I don't know who that is, but, you know, he's enjoying our shows apparently because he's been on them.
Yeah.
And he's waiting
till
the
times.
End, so he must be liking our shows, whoever it is.
Yes. Well, we thank everybody for listening to us as
yes.
we discuss different things. And, of course, we'll always try and bring a guest on every so often to mix stuff up as well.
I think you and I just know we needed to talk about this because this is so prevalent right now. And just everybody keep writing, and that is our message. That will always be our message, you know,
yes.
and just keep writing. All right, so you have a good weekend, and this is it. I think are we done now for the day, or is that
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's it. So we wish everybody a great weekend and hope everybody stays safe, keep writing, and remember that, you know, success comes from within. And we will hope, Marcia and I hope that you'll listen to us next week and, of course, in the month of March. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Follow me to the world of Inc.